Chapter 4, we've been talking, we're in chapter 5. we're in chapter 5. Okay, here we go. We're talking about, last week we covered the Trinity. So we've covered who is your daddy, we've covered who is Jesus, we've covered who is the Holy Spirit, we've covered the triunity of the Godhead, and now we're going to start talking about us. Knowing how you're created is so important. You know, living by accident is what most Christians do. And you hear me talk about that a lot. Because so many Christians live by accident. The Bible says walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Which means you have victory. Most Christians do not live in victory, but most Christians live in absolute, I call it the roller coaster ride with Jesus. One minute they're happy, the next minute they're depressed. One minute they're in victory, the next minute they're in decimation. That is never God's design for your life. God's design is consistency. Everybody say, consistency is everything. Say it out loud one more time. Consistency is everything. You must believe that. You must live that. That is your whole life. I guarantee you do that at work. How many of you have a job? How many of you have had a job more than a year? Well, then you've been consistent. I challenge you not to. I challenge you to skip 3 days this week. And when they call and say, "Where are you?" say, "Listen, I just need to relax today." Okay? Or "I slept in." Just say, "I slept in." See how many days you got a job. You're not going to have a job. You're going to be fired. But you see, you believe in consistency. So we must believe, yes.
Does that work for school too?
It does work for school. Your mother's going to get me. This is where if you learn this principle of consistency is everything, your life literally changes in every aspect. So knowing who and how you are created helps you understand why most of the time we don't live in consistency. Because most don't live in consistency. Most people are not consistent. Most people live on that roller coaster where victory is rare because they're constantly dealing with trouble in their life. I want you to know that God's design is so that you learn how He created you so that even when hell is licking your toes, watch now, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the personality of the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The word temperance means solidity, consistency. It is a solid all the way through, temperance. So what happens is, self-control is this. When you are truly living in this consistency, it doesn't matter the bad things, you're not moving. Watch. It doesn't matter the good things. You're not moving. Most people are like this. God wants you to be temperate, just like this. When you put your temperature gauge on at your house, let's just say you put it on at 70 or 68. So you put the temperature, your thermostat at 68. You get up in the morning and it's 42. Yeah, how many of you know that's a problem? But you go to bed, you've set it at 68, but you go to bed and it's 84. How many of you think that there's a problem there too? Well, you know why you have a thermostat? Because you're setting a temperature temperate. And this is the problem with many Christians is we've never learned how to live temperate because we've never learned how we've been created. We've never learned how God created us so we can learn how to control ourselves. A lot of people say, "No, I can't control myself." You're a liar. You either haven't learned how to control yourself or you choose not to control yourself because everyone can control themselves. So that's called temperate. So here we are. Let's talk about the basics. We started about it last week a little bit more. It said this. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, oh, come on in, baby, just grab a seat. Said this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." Now, we talked about Elohim, the name of God, Elohim. It's a singular plurality. Everybody say singular?
Singular.
Plurality. It is a Hebrew word, and that's Elohim. It's showing that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are three yet
one.
Come on. Three yet
one.
One more time. Three yet
one.
Very good. That's singular plurality. That is showing the triunity of the Godhead. But remember, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So this helps us understand the triunity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three yet
one.
But it also helps us understand us, because we've been made in his image and in his likeness. So we know that the Bible says that in his likeness, who is God? Well, God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 says that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. That shows a whole nature of who God is. Also, we know that not only God is a spirit, but we also know that no other creature on this planet has been created with a spirit in the likeness of God but man. This makes people very angry. But we are trichotomous. We are a spirit made in the image of God. We are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Sit. Three, yep, one. Let's say it again. I am a spirit
who has a soul
who lives in a body. Say it one more time.
I am a spirit
who has a soul that lives in a body. Three, yet
one.
Made in the image, made in the likeness of God. Now, why is this important? Well, because we are the only creation that has a spirit. God breathed into man. He became a living soul. We are trichotomous. All other animals on this planet, all other creatures on this planet are dichotomous, not trichotomous. What does that mean? Trichotomous, made in the image of God, in his likeness. We are a spirit that has a
soul
that lives in a three yet
one.
But all other creatures on this planet are dichotomous. They have a soul and they have a body, but no spirit. This is a great division, because watch now, the world teaches that we are just another animal. This is why evolution is so anti-God. Anti-God because evolution declares that we are an animal, or we're evolved from slime, and we made ourselves through the apes, and they made us, so on and so forth. Why that is so anti-God is because that's saying that you're dichotomous, that you do not have a spirit man. You are only a soul that has a body. So it's not just, well, I believe in, you'd be blown away how many Christians believe in evolution. The problem is that they don't understand trichotomy. They don't understand how you've been created. Because if we are nothing more than another animal, then you do not have eternity.
Can't be both.
Can't be both. If you do not have a spirit, you're not eternal. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you're an animal, you have a soul, but you do not have a spirit. So if you do not have a spirit, then are you created in the image and the likeness of God? Well, no. So those who lay hold of Darwinism, the challenge of Darwinism is now you have to believe that you're not an eternal being. Well, how many of you know that could be an issue? Since God says you are eternal, but you can't be one. So this is where we have to really wrap ourselves around God's principles to understand the trichotomy of man, to understand how God created you, to understand how to live in victory, because you cannot live in victory on accident. You have to live in victory on purpose. But you cannot live in victory on purpose if you do not know how the engine is made. So this is the understanding of the trichotomy of man. Now, here we go. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Showing that we are trichotomous. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division. Everybody say division?
Division.
Of the soul and the spirit and the joint of marrow. Spirit, soul, and body. Right here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it's very clear that we are a spirit, a soul, and a body. So we also see another division, which is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and it says this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. We are three yet one. That is the likeness that God has. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are three yet one. We are the only creation on this planet created in this dimension. Therefore, we have something that no other creature on this planet has. We have free will. And we are eternal, which is the greatest, worst thing that God has ever done for us. Amen. But when you understand how you're made, then you have the capability of controlling the beast. And this is where most Christians have never been taught. Sadly enough, and I'll just be straight with you, I didn't learn this until Bible college. I grew up in church my whole life. My uncle and I were there my whole life. But every preacher we had, I never heard this before, had you? In all the years of serving God, I was in church probably the first week of my life. I left at 18 years old. All of those years, I never once heard the trichotomy amen. How many years was it for you guys?
A lot.
More than 20?
Yeah. Honest.
More than 50? They've heard more in this last year than they've ever learned. So now they've been born again at least 29 years. Thank you, Aunt. You always want your aunt who can cook real good to be on your side. But because this is not taught, this is why we find so many believers struggling in their relationship with the Lord, and many of them actually giving up or choosing to live in a lifestyle that is not a godly lifestyle, and then saying that they just can't get out of it. And that is not true. Every one of us have absolute control, if you're born again, over you. The devil doesn't have control over you. God's given you all authority over the power of the devil. Don't blame the devil. You know, the little sticker, the devil made me do it. Don't work. Every one of us have a choice to live out godly principles, and we have the power to accomplish it because we've been made in the image of God. Therefore, when you've been born again, who dwells inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's God. He brooded over the earth at creation. Father, Son, and they are three yet. So if God is living inside of you, how can you fail? But what happens when we don't understand how the engine works? Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't have a clue on how an engine works. I put gas in my vehicle. I have never once change my own oil. I did change the air filter once. Once. Never on the motorcycle. I've never changed the oil on my motorcycle. I have never changed the air filter on my motorcycle. I get on my motorcycle and go, rum, chum. I could not fix this if I wanted to because I don't understand how it works. It makes no sense to me. So if it's broken, it's probably going to go to the shop. Yeah. No, it's not probably. It is going to the shop. And I'm going to pay somebody to fix my machine. But how many people in this room understand how engines work? Really? Hold on, let me write your names down, because I don't want to pay next time. And you thought you got away. I got you. But you see, this is, you understand. So therefore, if something breaks, you can fix it. You know how to control it. You know how to work the idol. You know how to work. You know how to make it work properly. I can't do that. So if that happens in my life, I have to take it somewhere to get it fixed. And if it breaks really bad, I just have to put it to sleep. This is where most Christians are. Because they don't understand the compilation and the creation that they are. And they struggle with the flesh. They give up so easy instead of living in victory. So I'm going to teach you tonight compilation. All right? Is that fair? Is everybody with me? Turn to somebody and say, I am trichotomous. Say it one more time. Really, I just needed a drink. Thank you very much. What is the spirit of man? Because we've been created in the image of God himself, we too have a spirit. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed. The word breathe there is the spiritual world called pneuma. It's spirit life, spiritual life. God breathed the life of heaven into man and in his nostrils and the breath of life. And man became a living being. God did not call him into existence. He breathed into him. Well, why? Because that's spirit. God created the spirit of man. So you and I, created in his image, as God is spirit, we too are spirit. That means every human being on this planet is eternal. Every human being, young and old, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what continent you're on, it doesn't matter where you're from, the truth is that every human being is eternal, and every human being will spend eternity alive. Alive. Because that is real you. The real you is your spirit. Because that is the eternal. So every human being is destined to live an eternal life. The challenge with that, and this is where Christianity has taken such a bad turn, is that we take care of ourselves, but we don't really grasp a hold of the fact that literally every human being is eternal. And because every human being is eternal, they will either spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven or will be repelled because they did not have someone cover their sins, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Now, that is not temporary. That is eternal. It is not an hour, a month. It is not time, as we discussed on Sunday, but it is eternal time, and every single human being, every single human being, the ones you like, the ones you hate, the ones you run from, the ones you flipped off, the ones that you marry, every single human being is eternal. And they're going somewhere. They will never die. Ever. And this is the challenge for us to wrap ourselves around. Because we live so temporary. We live so according to the linear mindset. That we forget that every seed of time that we plant determines our eternity. And not just our eternity, our place in eternity. I'm not talking heaven or hell. There are different even levels in heaven. We know there are three heavens. Paul talked about them. We also know that you are rewarded. And according to the rewards that you have, there is levels of responsibility. Some will rule with him and some will reign with him. Different levels of authority that will be given even in eternity. And all of that is determined not by God, but by us in our determination of where and what we do with our spiritual man and the seeds of time that we plant on this temporary portion called earth. It's powerful. And when we really get a hold of this, we live different because we think different. You must think as a spiritual person, as a spiritual individual, and recognize that eternity is very close. Could be tonight. And that once we enter into eternal time, our temporary time is canceled. Once temporary time is canceled, what you've done is sealed. And that determines where and what you will be then. Because every human is eternal, that heaven or hell reality is there. The Bible says that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, as we've talked about the blood, and I got to see how much I want to cover there before we jump forward. Here we go. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden in innocence, remember we talked about a little bit on Sunday, in the level of innocence that they had, they were living in, even though time, as we know it, was created, they were living in God time. They were still living in eternal time. Time, as we know it, did not get activated in fullness to the effect of the soul and the spirit until after Adam and Eve sinned, and now the promise of the Lord, you shall surely die, time now affects physical bodies. Before, it never did. How many of you heard somebody say, well, I'm just getting older, that's why I have all these aches and pains? Come on now. What are you saying? Think about what you're saying.
The end is coming.
Yeah, you're saying that I am now in this linear time because I would not have any of these pains if I was in eternal time. Because the eternal physical body, Adam and Eve never made to die. Well, we know Adam died in 900 plus years old. You got to wonder how wrinkled he was, but... It's just a thought that came to me. We'll move on now. So because man sinned, everything changed. This is actually when the first blood was shed. There was no blood shed at all, ever, until after the sin, after Adam and Eve sinned. The very first blood shed was what? What's that? Animal sacrifice. For what reason? The very first one. Who did the very first animal sacrifice? God did. When? When he clothed them. Up to that point, no animals had died. No animals had been killed. But because of sin, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin, no covering of sin. Because they found themselves innocent, or I should say, no longer innocent, and they tried to cover themselves, God covered them with the blood of an animal. That was the very first shedding of blood. So now we know that man is in a lost position. The Bible says the first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought life. So what happened was, when you and I, before we knew Jesus, our spiritual man was dead. Now what does that mean? That doomed is the right word. If you are not born again, your spiritual man is dead, therefore it has not been made alive. If it's not alive in Christ, it's dead in sin. If you're spiritually dead in sin and you never apply the blood of Jesus, then you must yourself pay for that sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So when you're not born again, your spiritual man, who you really are, your real man is your spiritual man, that is the eternal man. Your spiritual man is dead and doomed for eternal separation from God. But the moment you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you go from death to life. You go from darkness to light. You're once dead in sin, but now you are alive in Christ. Literally, God by his Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, and the Spirit of God who brooded over the earth now lives in your spiritual man. So as you've heard me say 1,000 times, turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. And that is powerfully true because it is absolutely true. It is not a spiritual figment of your imagination. The moment you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and your spirit man becomes alive. So your spirit being eternal, those who do not know Christ will be damned to the lake of fire. Their names will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They will live forever. Listen, you know, hell and the lake of fire are just a horrific event. It is not just that you're burning and your flesh is burning, because remember, you still have a body. You are eternal. You're in absolute agony. You're screaming in agony. You can only smell sulfur. You can only hear the screams of people that are burning alive. You will never be in contact with another human being. You will never touch anybody. You will never talk to anybody again. You will always, and the greatest torment of the lake of fire and hell is your memories. You will remember every single time that you chose to reject God. And know that God did not put you there. You put yourself there. How you would love to go back and relive one moment and confess Jesus as your Savior and live for Him. But you'll never forget every moment that you rejected God. Every time the Holy Spirit drew you, every time the Holy Spirit convicted you, and you said, skip you, God, I'm going to live my life. You will never, ever, 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 ever. You know what? I could keep saying that. You're going to start getting irritated. Can you imagine how irritated it will be in eternity realizing you put yourself there? Well, I can't wait to get to hell. We'll party together. Baby, you'll never see another person. You don't know loneliness until for eternity you have no one to talk to, no one to be around, no one but you. I kind of avoid that place. Smart people say, not a good location. So your spirit is either alive or dead. And when you're alive in Christ, everything changes. Can I hear an amen? A person who receives Christ. Oh, let's just keep going here because I want to finish this tonight. I want to finish this. What time is it? Oh, Jesus. So your spiritual man is very much alive. How many of you have ever had the Holy Spirit speak to you? I'm not talking like, go to Africa. I'm not talking that at all. But you feel an impression or direction from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're reading the Word and it's like the Word comes alive to you. Something you've read before, never made sense. Maybe you read it like 1,500 times, but this time it's like, wow, God, I got that. You feel the push, the direction, the encouragement, the strength, the overwhelmingness of the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of God who dwells inside of you. Now, you are not only a spiritual man, but you are also, you have a soul. Turn to someone and say, you have a soul. What is a soul? A person has an intellect and emotions and will. This is your soulish man. So you have your spiritual man, and then you have your soulish man. Now, before you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your soul ruled your life. You were governed by the passions of your flesh, which means this. If it felt good, do it. If it satisfied you, it's all good, no matter whether it's godly or ungodly. The flesh, the Bible says, if you've never read Romans chapter 8, probably a good place to read tonight before you go to bed. It says this, the enemy of God is your flesh. The word flesh is synonymous with soul. Well, why is the soul the enemy of God? Because the intellect, emotions, and will of man, the flesh, are always trying to gain control because your flesh does not want to please God. How many of you have ever talked yourself out of doing what God's told you to do? Your intellect. I've had people say, well, I can't understand this God stuff, so I'm not going to accept it. Well, listen, whether you can understand it or not, God is still God and you are not. Well, you know, I can't understand this salvation stuff. Well, God never told you to understand it. He told you to receive it. Well, if I can't understand it, I'm not doing it. Listen, the foolishness of God is the greatest wisdom of man. In fact, he said, the foolishness of preaching is what's going to save people. Because your flesh hates pleasing God. Your intellect does not want to yield to God. That's why the Bible says, and we can turn there real quickly. I don't know if I've written it down or not. Yep, there it is, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do you do that? Through the Word of God. Why do you think you, every time you pick up the Bible, you fall asleep? Why do you think every time you pick up the Bible, you read like 5 or 6 verses, like I'm bored to death? Because your intellect does not want to be renewed. You see, you are no longer just a fleshly person. You are alive in Christ. And your spirit man demands spiritual food. Just like your physical man desires food, your spiritual man demands food. And when your spiritual man is not fed food, then it dies. This is why reading the Word is so powerful and so important, or listening to the Word, or listening to preaching. One thing I love about Terry, he's been doing some work here at the church, building some stuff in the back. Every time you go back there, you're hearing preaching. He's got it on his phone. He's got a preacher. Usually it's Jonathan or Teddy. You hear Jonathan or Teddy coming from over there in the back. I guarantee if he wasn't in the church, you'd still hear it in his truck. True? Well, what's he doing? He's transforming his mind with the Word of God. Because your flesh intellect tries to actually believe that it is smarter than God. How many of you have tried to outsmart God before? You might say you didn't. But when you try to talk your way out of what God says yes to, and now you're saying no to, that's your intellect trying to supersede the will of heaven. The next one is your intellect, your will. What's your will? I want to do this. We know the greatest fight is obedience is better than sacrifice. So God directs you, says, do this, and you tell God, no. That's your soulish man. And so what happens is, when God tells you to obey him and you refuse to obey him, what you're actually showing God is, your spirit inside of me does not rule me, I still rule me. That's why Paul said, I die daily. What is he dying to? I'm telling my flesh, you are not in control. For if I walk in the Spirit, I'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the more that you allow your flesh man, your personal will, your own intellect, and your emotions to rule your life, actually, the more out of control you're going to be. You will not be temperate, but you'll be ruled by every emotion. How many people are ruled by emotions? If you've never read the book, The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers, you need to get it. Well, I'm telling you, it really changes everything when you realize how messed up in the head you are. It's true. I've got a great example. It's an old example, but it's a great example. You get up and look in the mirror and you say, you fat thing. You need a diet. So that day you make a determination. I'm on a diet. I am not going to fall. I am not going to falter. I will remain strong no matter what. And that night is a company party. So the company party, you go to it and you sit there and they bring out this chocolate chip cookies, not just chocolate chip, but chocolate chip cookies that are hot. And your friend comes up and says, man, you got to try one of these cookies I made. They are amazing. And you say, well, you know, I really don't want to. Oh, come on now, just one cookie. And your mind says, really, I don't want to hurt their feelings. One cookie won't kill you. And you eat that cookie. It hits your palate, you're starting to salivate, and all of a sudden you're just enjoying every flavor burst within your salivatory, and everything is alive, and you swallow it, and your head says, I told you, you fat thing, you couldn't do it. Am I lying? You can't trust your mind. You're messed up. You can't trust your thoughts. You've got to trust the Word of God. You've got to trust the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. How many times emotionally have in a day you been on a roller coaster? in one day. You've had great joy, and then you had hell start licking your toes, and now you're upset. How many people make life choices out of emotions? Yeah, most. You got a thought? You don't got a thought, but you're raising your hand? Jesus, touch him, Lord, right now. Amen. We all make emotional. You know, sometimes you get up, well, I just got up on the wrong side of the bed. Is there a wrong side of the bed for the kingdom of God? Well, I'm just mad. Well, the Bible says be angry and sin not. So if you take it to the next level where you've lost your temper, who now controls you? Well, I love him. I said, if you've been married, you know that oochie goochie feeling ain't always there. Love is not a feeling, love is a commitment. This is where we make choices that if you allow your emotions to control your life, you are out of control. You will never be in control. God will never be in control. What God's design is that your spirit man rules your soul. I need you to. Yeah. So you're going to be the spirit. You're going to be the body. And you're going to be the soul. Now, before I get into this, I want to show you that you not only have a spirit, you not only have a soul, but you have a body. Your physical body is nothing more than a slave, either to your spirit or your soul. What do I mean by that? You know, people say, don't judge me. People are so funny. That's so stupid. No, really, that is one of the most asinine statements an individual can make. Don't judge me. How can you not judge them? Because the fact is that the physical body is nothing more than a slave either to the spirit or the soul. And whoever you are submitting to, the body acts out. You don't know my heart. I don't need to know your heart. Who are you showing? Let me say that one more time. You don't know my heart. I don't have to know your heart. Your flesh is either living him or him. Whatever you're manifesting through your physical body is who you're submitting to. No one has to judge you. You show yourself. Ooh, come on now. Are you with me? So before you were saved, your soul, your body, and you just kneel down. Your spirit is dead. So you live according to the flesh, which means everything that makes you happy, you do. All the sins, alcohol, drugs, sex. Every sin you can say, you're automatically going to live because that's who's ruling your life. You live doubt. Everything that's anti-God, you live. Well, I'm a nice person. Sincerity never gets you to heaven. So what happens is your soul is living. But what most people see is just the physical body's actions. So if the soul, before you're saved, everything you do is going to be pleasing to you. That's your goal. Your goal in life is to be happy. So you're going to do everything that makes your flesh man happy. And all you'll see is him acting out the soulish man. You don't see a soul over here talking to the body. Hey, dude, you want a drink? No. All you see is the body listening to the soul. So the control of the physical body is by the will of the soulish man. Spirit, soul. But where's your spirit? Well, I'm not born again. Where is he? He's nowhere near. Where is he? He's dead. But the moment the Holy Spirit starts to convict, and you hear somebody say, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Your soulless man is going, quiet, don't listen to him. You don't want God. You're good enough by yourself. You're a nice person. Do whatever you want. Don't listen to this Jesus stuff. It's crap. You don't want to listen to this God stuff. But yet, your spirit inside is being drawn by the Holy Spirit. Well, when we give an altar call, if you'd like to receive the Lord, raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? When it was time for you to raise your hand for salvation, your flesh tried to talk you out of it. Boy, I'm really messed up, aren't I? We're all this way. This is how God made us, spirit, soul, and body. But your spiritual man decides, no, I want God. I want to come alive. You don't see him, your spirit's praying. You see out of your physical body, someone confess the Lord with their mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. So now you're saved. This is what happens. Now, physical body, being a slave, just stand over here. Now you have your soulish man ticked off. And this is what you're saying, ready in your head. That wasn't real. That wasn't real. Man, you don't, this church stuff is just way too much. You don't really need to go every Sunday. Because your soul wants to control you. Remember, he's nothing more than a slave. He's only acting out who's actually in control. But if you decide to follow Jesus and live for Jesus and actually obey God, your spiritual man will be evidenced through your physical body. So this is how it's supposed to be. You ready? Spirit, soul, and body. That way, he motivates, moves, lives through your physical body. Your soul back here is always trying to take your spirit and push him aside. Really, that's what's happening. But you see how big your spirit man is? The soul is always ticked off. Sometimes your soul will actually convince you that you can live for both God and the devil. That you can obey God just sometimes and still serve Jesus. But the Bible says that's not true. That there can only be one in control. So what happens is this. This is the battle of Christianity. This is the battle of the kingdom of God. This battle never ends. I want to encourage you. This battle never ends. The battle between the spirit and the soul is never going to end. Romans chapter 7 makes a statement. Who can deliver me from this body of sin? But there is an answer. Jesus Christ. So the more you feed your spiritual man, the more the flesh has to retract. The more you feed your flesh, the more the spirit has to retract. And then, whoever really controls you, you're living. I really need you to get this. Because this is how the engine works. So you can say, I don't have power. That is a lie. If you don't have power, it means you're not feeding. Listen, whoever you feed has control. The flesh is a peon. Really, the flesh is a peon. It's true. Your flesh is an irritant. Your flesh is a peon. Your flesh will always lose to the spirit if you feed the spirit. This is why getting you to not obey God, getting you not to be in the house of God, getting you not to be in teaching and training, getting you not to worship is the goal of your soul. The more you feed him, the weaker he gets. And then, who's going to be controlling? Watch now. I'm a believer. F you. Okay. I love Jesus. Hey, man, let's go out and party. Right here. Who's controlling you? Now, it's not that temptation isn't going to come. But when your spirit is in control, the Spirit says, in the name of Jesus, get behind me. In the name of Jesus, you have no control over me. In the name of Jesus, and this is where the word is so powerful in your life. When the enemy attacked Christ, what did Christ use? The word. The word builds faith. So the more you build your spirit, the stronger he becomes. So when the temptations come, the sneaky little foul beast, you just push him back. Watch. Your flesh always pouts. And then all of a sudden, you have a true temptation. How many have been tempted before? Temptations are a normal part of life, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that God always gives us a way of escape.
That's right.
Yeah. So now you're tempted. Your flesh tempts. You have a choice. Who will I allow to reign? Who will be in control? Who will I allow to control me? Here's the issue. God is out of the equation. This is your choice to obey God or disobey God, to live in the Spirit and have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, peace, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, or to live in the flesh, and the wages of sin is death. It's your choice. Don't ever say you don't have control. It's not true. Don't ever say you can't overcome temptation. It's a lie. If you cannot and are not strong enough, that means you're feeding the wrong one too much. Starve your flesh, and your spirit always becomes stronger. Starve your spirit, and your flesh always becomes stronger. And honestly, it's not hard to figure out. How you live your life shows who you submit to.
That's right.
They both can't rule. Only one rules. You allow it or disallow it. It's your choice. How about you? That's really powerful stuff. Because when you get this, we're all tempted. Every single person is tempted with sin. Your sin might be your mouth. Your sin might actually be the way you think. Take into captivity every thought and imagination that raises itself up against God. Your temptation might be an outward sin that everyone can see. But it doesn't matter what the temptation is. Who can deliver me from this body of sin? Who is in your spirit? God himself is in your spirit. You can't fail. For if God is for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. They're not just nice little cliches. This is the fight. This is your fight for the rest of your life. This is your fight for the rest of the life. The choice, though, the choices you make are seed. Pay attention. The choices you make are seed. Every time you yield to him, you seed for not love, not joy, not peace. You seed for that. By obeying him, that's what you're choosing to live. And you will harvest. Be not deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. The battle of spirituality, the battle of your life, never ceases. It gets easier depending on who you feed and who you obey. If you obey him, you'll start getting hard-hearted. Conviction won't be as strong. And when conviction is not as strong, it means his voice is getting quieter. Baby, nothing should scare the hell out of you quicker than his voice becoming quiet. Who did you submit to today? Who did you allow to live through you today? Your flesh or the Spirit? Who will you allow to live tomorrow? And that's why Paul said, I die daily. Right. I make a choice every morning. I choose to live for God or live against God. Well, I'm not really choosing against God. I'm kind of, you know, like in the middle. There is no middle. One or the other controls you. Who's controlling you? Don't make excuses. It's your choice to allow your intellect, your emotions, or your will to tell God, shut up. I'm running this show. And you always know what the seed's going to be. It's always going to bring death. Sin is good and sin is fun, but for a season is what the scripture says. But always remember, there's no greater tax collector than the devil. And when it's time to pay him, it's never with blood. It's with life. Yep. Eternal. Thank you. Questions? Yes. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes.
So
your mind can become more controlled. It's the control issue. The more word in you, the more you're submitting to the Holy Spirit, the more your mind comes into subjection.
But the essence of the mind is still enmity to God.
The mind of man is the enemy of God, Romans chapter 8. How many times have you talked yourself out of the will of God? You justify yourself. How many people justify themselves? That's the mind of man. Hard-hearted means you no longer feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You no longer feel guilty for sin. You know it's sin. If the Bible says it's sin, it really doesn't matter what your flesh says. It's simple. It doesn't matter what your justification is. It's simple. If you know it's sin, it's sin. Hard-hearted means you know it's sin, and you say to yourself, I don't really care that I'm sinning. So you continue and you stop feeling the guilt. Oh, baby. Don't ever let yourself get to the place where you stop feeling guilt for sin. It is a scary place. Scary place. That is grieving, denying. Well, what you're actually doing is you're telling him to go back to death. Yeah. You mean you can die spiritually? Absolutely. You mean you can follow God and get so hard-hearted that you walk away from God? I can get 10 Demas. Let's just talk about Demas. Demas was a man who walked with Paul. He was a minister on Paul's team. So he was a minister of the gospel. He prayed for people, they were healed. He watched Paul raise a young man from the dead. He saw people baptized in the Holy Ghost, preaching the gospel. Come on now, can you imagine being in the anointing of Paul the apostle? He was in it. Paul spoke to him, invested in him, loved him. And the Bible says, Paul wrote this, "And Demas left me for the love of the world." Well, how is that possible? Because Demas must have been struggling with a sin that he refused to submit to God with. He became hard-hearted and walked away no matter what he was in. Should scare the hell out of you.
When you're a baby, who is in control?
When you're a baby, who is in control? Well, it's how many of you ever had to teach your children to say no? Really, you taught them to say no? No. First time your kid looked at you and said, no. No one had to teach your kid that. No one had to teach your kid rebellion. No one had to teach your kid that they had to be disciplined. They disobeyed on their own. It's the Adamic nature. Yes. In the beginning of the class, it said that every human being is eternal. Yes.
And then during the demonstration, you said that before we're saved, our spirit is dead.
Our spirit is dead before we're saved.
So,
what does that mean? Let me explain what that means. When your spirit man is dead because you do not have the blood applied, it doesn't mean you're not eternal. It means you're eternally dead. You will experience eternal death. The Bible calls it the second death. For it's appointed unto a man once to die, and then the judgment. Everyone will on this planet will die except if the rapture occurs. After you've died physically and you're not born again, your spirit man is dead, you go to hell, the holding tank. You are tortured in hell until the white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, that hell and death will give up. They're dead. And you'll stand before God, and two books will be opened. One called the Book of Works, where he will show you all the sins that you did. God is a righteous judge, which means as a righteous judge, you must be convicted of sin. You must be convicted of trespass. You must be convicted of breaking the law. Well, the law is simple. The law of God, the principles of God's word, are written and available to every single person. And if they're not physically involved, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that he's written the law of God on your heart. So what happens is, if you do not know Christ, you're in hell. Now you're at the great white throne judgment. The books are open. Your sins are revealed to you. All your excuses are dismissed, showing that your flesh only brought you to death. And then God will open the second book, which is called the Book of Life. Your name will not be in the Book of Life. And then he'll say, "Cast them into the lake of fire, which was made for the devil and his angels, and be separated for eternity." At that moment, you'll drop into the lake of fire, and you'll be tortured, tormented, not by God, but by yourself, because you put yourself there.
So the definition of death would be the separation from God.
You got to slow down, because everything you say, I have to repeat, or they don't hear it online.
Sorry.
Okay? So I'm saying, according to what your question is,
The definition of death
is the separation from God. Yes, and beyond.
Because it's not a lack of existence.
Oh, no. There'll be absolute existence in death.
Right. Okay. I got it.
No human actually spiritually dies.
Right.
Remember, your physical body is nothing more than just a slave. When your physical slave dies, your spirit and soul remains. You don't go to soul sleep. You either go to heaven to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, or you go to the lake. You go to hell, waiting for the lake of fire. So the big question is who are you allowing to obey? Who are you obeying? Yes. Yes. One of the verses I quoted in the beginning of class when I was talking about the trichotomy of man. Thessalonians, chapter 5, blameless, soul, and spirit.
So that blameless isn't that there's any other than, there's no conversion, it's that they're in obedience.
Absolutely. So what she's saying is, so where I'm not saying that your soulish man gets holy, no, your soulish man gets subjected, owned, ruled. The rulership is the battle. Who controls you? Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if your spirit man is dead.
If your spirit man is dead,
someone else has to talk to your flesh, your body, your.
The gospel of. Yeah, okay, I get you.
You have to hear it. What I'm trying to do is link it all together.
Yes.
Someone else, you're going to have to hear
it. If your spirit man is dead, correct me if I'm wrong. If your spirit man is dead, your physical body has to hear the gospel. If your physical body hears the gospel and you respond, you accept Christ, your spirit man becomes alive. Well, absolutely. How come it becomes alive? Because now you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then your spirit man has the power to control the flesh man, intellect, emotions, and will.
He who has an ear to hear,
let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Any other questions? Yes.
I have a simple question. That really confuses me. And I think I know the answer, but it still confuses me. If you're born again, okay, you come to church and you try and you do your best to follow the Lord.
So when you're born again, you come to church, you're doing your best to serve the Lord.
Right, okay, but you're still serving the flesh. Do you go to heaven or do you go to hell?
This is where it's at. And this is where the battle is. We all have the choice to serve God. So we feel conviction when we sin. Where the danger is when we don't tell the flesh to shut up and get back. So living in sin, we don't know the line where it's danger. But we do know that you start becoming hard-hearted. So you have to start making choices. How many people have I known, I can't count on my hands, that have had a genuine experience of salvation, that were genuinely excited about the Lord, yet genuinely chose to remain in a sin, and within a few years they were gone and living not just the old life, but they had to go deeper because they had to try to get more from what they had than before. Yes?
I still didn't understand the answer.
The answer is dangerous because you'll never hear me say a direct answer to that question for this reason. Nobody knows the heart of man but God. We all struggle with a sin. The Bible calls it the sin that so easily besets us. But he says, throw off that weight. So we know we have the right and the opportunity, but there is a difference between living in sin and sinning. Let me explain. When you're born again, let's just say before you're born again, you are in sin. It is your nature to sin. The Bible says that it is your nature. You follow the father of disobedience. I'll just read it to you because I want you to hear it. It's Galatians chapter 2. Turn there real quickly. You have a nature, the nature of sin. Maybe it's Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm sorry. Yep, there it is. And you who have been made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. Among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So a person that does not know Jesus, their nature is sin. That's why somebody says to me, man, I couldn't believe somebody said that to me. What do you mean? A sinner does what a sinner does. That's their nature. Why are we shocked when a sinner gets drunk? Why are we shocked when a sinner is committing adultery? Why are we shocked when a sinner is committing fornication? Why are we shocked when a sinner is lying? Why are we shocked when a sinner is murdering? Why are we shocked? That's their nature. That's the nature of their father. He's the father of lies. He's the one who created all those foul, beastly things. It's his nature. It's the nature of the beast. But when you're saved, you take on a new nature. And that is found in 1 Peter. I know this is a whole other topic, but it is really good. In 1 Peter, it starts talking about the nature of the Father. I would have to sit down and find it. It's in 1 Peter. So, I'm snotting. The issue is, as a Christian, you are not controlled by sin. Romans chapter 6 says you're no longer a slave to sin. So as a Christian, we don't live in sin. As a Christian, we sin. Thank God for Jesus. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But living in sin shows a spiritual nature that's dangerous. So every one of us have a choice. Every one of us, no matter what your sin is, we have a choice to obey God or disobey God. We have a choice to yield to the flesh or to yield to the spirit. It's our choice. The devil made me do it, doesn't work. It's choice. And the challenge is, in today's Christianity, we have Christians living, listen, George Barna did a study on today's Christians compared to the worldly people. And there was no difference. No, listen, there was no difference. They actually gave more money than Christians. But they all went to the same movies. They all spoke the same language. They all cussed the same way. They all committed the same sexual sins. All did that. They did everything the world did, the church was. There was no difference. Baby, man, that's not kingdom. That might be Christianity, but it's not God.
Amen.
You are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, because all things become new. We have a choice to sin or not to sin. Well, I'm in a position where I can't stop. Oh, that's a lie from hell. Don't you believe that's not true? You can stop. You have the ability through God. Maybe not through yourself, but through God, all things are possible to those who believe. Who are you building? Who are you feeding? And who are you submitting to? Will determine the seed that you're planting and the harvest that you will bring. I don't know about you. I want a good harvest, not a bad harvest. So I'm choosing to plant the right seeds. That's choice. That's all it is. Questions? Yes.
Totally unrelated. Say grace before a meal.
When you say the blessing before a meal,
where did that originate from?
In the scripture. It's in the word of God that says we should give thanks and bless the food. And what it does, it brings protection over your food, but also gives glory to God, knowing who your source is. It's a declaration of source. New. It's in one of the epistles. Great question. Anybody else? Good class tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whew. Can I give you a really good admonishment? Stop sinning. Choose to stop sinning. Make a decision to stop sinning. It's simple. Don't make it hard.
No. I don't want to do that anymore. I choose not to live that way any longer. I choose not to be controlled that way any longer. I'm making a conscious choice. Make the choice. And you know what? You'll live in peace and joy of the Holy Ghost. You'll have the fruit of the Holy Spirit more evident than the fruit of the flesh. Yes.
Why is it when I was out partying and serving the flesh and all that, I was miserable?
Why is it when you're out serving the flesh, you are miserable? You're buying whatever you want to buy. You're doing whatever you want to do, but it's still,
still
doesn't make you. You want to know why? Because God put within us, our spirit man is there. God put within us a hunger to know him. Every single person has a level of faith to be born again. For everyone's been given a measure of faith. God longs for you. So what happens is, it's called the actual terminology is called prevenient grace. That is God drawing you before you ever knew he was doing it. That miserable shows that flesh can't fix. This is what always confuses me. You got saved because you recognized that living for your flesh and living for the devil was not fulfilling. What are you going back for?
Right.
It didn't work the first time. Why do you think it's going to work the second time? All right, let's stand. Was that all right tonight? Yes. What's that? Annual business meeting is when? This Sunday is annual business meeting. We're going to, let's move it another week. Let's move it 2 more weeks. Can we? Okay, let's move it to February 14th. Yeah. We'll have a Valentine's party over the finances of the church.